How many of you believe that this morning? It is no secret what our God can do. Well, isn't it wonderful to be back in the house of the Lord today? How many of you enjoyed service here last night? I'll tell you what, the Lord is just speaking great, 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 wonderful truths to us. And the further we go, the more we learn. And that's the way it ought to be. How many of you are glad you're learning? How many of you are glad you don't think that you know it all? Well, the rest of you must think you know it all. How many of you are really glad you really think that you do not know it all? But we are learning as we go, aren't we? Give Jesus a big hand clap of praise. You love him this morning. Raise that a key. Raise it. Amen. Now I want you to do something this morning. You know, it's easy to see what God's doing in everybody else's life but your own. Most of you feel like you're at a standstill. Sometimes you feel like, Lord, there's no hope in this world for me. But you know who that is talking to you, don't you? Because we're growing, church. We are growing. We're getting whiskers. We're growing. We certainly are. Shake somebody's hand this morning and tell them this. It's no secret what our God can do. It's no secret what our God can do. Amen. It is no secret what God can do. It's no secret what God can do, Brother Robert. Bless you, buddy. Love you, man. Brother John, it's no secret what God can do, buddy. Amen. Boys, God bless you. Now let's sing with all of our heart. Oh, it is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he can do it for you. With his arms wide open, it is no secret what God Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's look at our prayer request this morning. Brother Daniel, if you'll get ready this morning to take us to the Lord in prayer. Sister Barbara Gerber sends this in to please pray for Mary Williams, who just gave birth. The baby was premature. There's several complications in regard to that. So let's pray that the Lord would be merciful into that situation. I want to pray for Brother Ronnie Daly, unable to be in the service today, sick in body. Let's pray for him. I want to pray for the family of Magdalena Carter. She passed away this morning. Please remember the family during their loss. So that's someone we've been praying for and requesting prayer for. And well, she's graduated now. So let's pray for that family. I want you to remember my niece in prayer this morning. Going to be undergoing some tests. Just pray that the Lord would be mindful of her. Also, the John and Betty Turner situation over in Durham, North Carolina. Now, we didn't mention that last night, but we didn't really have any information. And there's been all kinds of speculations, all kinds of stories told that wasn't even close to being true. So until you really have the facts, you're better off not to say a whole lot. But we certainly want to remember that situation, John and Betty Turner. I know there was a couple of people that was killed during, looks like what was a robbery. And let's just pray that situation, the Lord would be mindful of those folks and take care of that situation. We know He's more than able, don't we? But let's pray that the Lord would certainly be mindful of all that situation in Durham, North Carolina. Sean Hodge asked for prayer. They found a mass in her body, so let's pray that the Lord would be mindful of that. Sister Judy Keith says, please pray for me. I'm having a lot of back pain, so let's pray for that situation today. Brother Wes Willis, still battling sickness. Let's pray for our brother this morning. Certainly want to continue to pray for Sister Natalie. I talked to Brother Keith just the other day, and he said she's still fighting with everything she's got. She's counting on our prayer. She's counting on our support. How many of you are going to be supportive of our sister? Amen. We know that God is going to get the final victory in her life. She's going to come out victorious, whichever way it goes. I believe that with all of my heart. If you have an unspoken prayer request this morning, signify by the raising of your hand. We know that we're serving a God that's bigger than all of our problems. Let's sing that chorus together one more time just before Brother Daniel comes to lead us to the Lord this morning. It is no secret what our God can do. It is no secret what God can do. What is done for others, He'll do for you.
I believe that this morning, don't you? Amen. Let's take these needs to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just love you and appreciate you so much. Thank you, God, for letting us live in this day, in this age, the greatest of all ages, Heavenly Father. Thank you for the revelations that have been brought out, oh God, from this pulpit. God, we praise you for everything you mean to us, Lord Jesus, for the day, for health, for strength. Heavenly Father, we come to you again this morning, bringing our petitions, our requests before your throne, knowing, God, that thou art a healer, thou art a savior, and everything that we have need of, God, if we just believe by faith you said it would happen, Heavenly Father. And God, it be in your divine will. And Heavenly Father, we pray this morning, God, that you'll take these needs, these requests, and God, that you'll move for each one of them. God, I pray that you'll heal those that are sick, save those that are lost. God, deliver those that need deliverance. No, God, those over the internet, God, in the fellowship hall, whoever they may be, may your hand go forth, Lord Jesus, to move for them. God, bless our pastor today as he brings forth the word. Help us, oh God, that we'll be able to receive it. God, we praise you for everything you mean to us. God, move in this service now, Jesus. Move among the people. Help us, God, that we'll get out of the way, that you might have complete control. God, we just love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Daniel. God bless you. Amen. Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering. If you're visiting today with us in this service, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. Those that are streaming, may God richly bless those folks as well. Brother and Sister Goad was here in the service with us last night. Sister Brenda, are they back again this morning? So God bless you. Ian from Colorado, they're not visiting. They're just back home. So we're glad to have Brother Sister Goad back home with us this morning. If you're visiting, may God richly bless you. Somebody say, God bless our visitors. Amen. Amen. Let's sing a song this morning. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again?
But the blood of Jesus, because it reaches to the highest mountain. Oh, and it flows to the lowest valley. That gives me strength from day to day. It'll never lose its power.
Sing it now.
Well, you're just singing so good this morning. I hate to ask you to sit down, but we're going to go on into the service. Sister Emily Willis, is she here with us in the service today? You can be seated. God bless you this morning. Sister Emily has a song. Brother Joel Yance has a song for us this morning. If you'll come onto the platform when Sister Emily gets through singing, we'll have a couple of specials. We'll go right on into the service. Aren't you glad to be in church today? Amen. Amen. Let's enjoy our singers as they sing for us.
Two coats were before me, an old and a new. I asked my sweet master, what must I do? The first coat was ugly, so tattered and torn. The other, a new one, had never been worn. Tell you the best thing I ever did.
Chuck, can you get loose over there? Pray for him, folks.
So many times I've questioned certain circumstances or things I could not understand. Many times in trials, weakness blurs my vision and my frustration gets so out of hand. Well, it's then I am reminded that I've never been forsaken. I've never had to stand one test alone. And as I look at all the victories, the Spirit rises up in me. And it's through the fire my weaknesses made strong. Promise that the cross would not be heavy and the hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered victories without fighting, but he said help would always come in time. Just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision, when the adversary says, give in, just hold on. Our Lord will show up, and He will take you through fire again. I know within myself that I will show perish, but if I trust the hands of God, He'll shield the flames again. He never promised that the cross would not be heavy and the hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered without fighting, but He said help would always come in time. Just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision, the adversary says, give in, just hold on. Our Lord will show. Seal the flames again, again. He never promised that the cross would not be heavy and the hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered victories without fighting. Standing in the valley of decision, when the adversary says, give in, just hold on. Our Lord will show up, and He will take you through the fire again. So just hold. I know within myself that I will surely perish. But if I trust the hand of God, He'll seal the flames again. Again. He never promised that the cross would not be heavy. Without fighting, but He said He'll put all His coming time. Just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision, when the adversary says, "Hear me," just hold on. Our Lord will show.
The Lord. God isn't afraid of fire, is He? Sometimes we get a little bit afraid of fiery trials and kind of scares us a little bit. Kind of makes us nervous and we're not sure of the outcome. But if we can just have confidence in Him who has brought all of His children thus far safely and know that He'll do you just exactly the same. Let's turn today, if you would, to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 1, verse 5. Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 5. I'd like to read down through verses 10, if you would. Now let's speak to you again today on the king's guards. The king's guards. Listen to this carefully. These verses of Scripture can be somewhat overwhelming, I guess, if you're reading in the state of symbolism, not to understand what they represent. But I can assure you that they're not near as complicated as what they would seem when you first start reading them. So don't get nervous and think, oh my Lord, you know, what in the world does all that mean? It's really very simple. Listen carefully now as we read. Also out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures. This was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. And everyone had four faces. And everyone had four wings. And their feet were straight feet. And the sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot. And they sparkled like the color of burnished brass. And they had the hands of a man under their wings on their four sides. And they had, notice now, the four had their faces and their wings. And their wings were joined one to another. They turned not when they went. And they went every one straight forward. So in division, no matter where the beasts go, they're going straight forward because they've got a face on every side. As for the likeness of their faces, they four had the face of a man, the face of a lion on the right side. And the four had the face of an ox on the left side. They four also had the face of an eagle. Now, when Ezekiel sees this, the vision actually comes from the north. So this is careful how you look at it to realize that God chose the direction by which to bring the vision. And the vision comes from the north. But the face which has the main precedence that he looks at is the face of the man, which is, of course, face coming from the south. So he says, as for the likeness of their faces, the four had the face of a man, face of a lion on the right side. and the face of an ox on the left side, and therefore also had the face of an eagle. And God is typing and showing how that these four faces are corresponding with the representation of what he's doing on the earth at the same time. Let's bow our heads together and ask God to help us today. Father, we love you today. We're so grateful, Lord Jesus, that we could be assembled together again in this place. We ask for your divine providence to come and take charge of the service, that you would help us, Lord, that our understanding could be enlightened. We've not come today, Lord, to have our ears tickled. We've not come, Father, that we might see or be seen. But we've come that we might be benefited in a way that will be beyond mortal realms. That our souls could be caught under the influence of heavenly beings. We pray, God, that you'd take your word today and anoint it. Speak to us afresh. I pray, Father, in Jesus' name. And the saints said,
amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. God had a way of dealing with prophets that would seem so peculiar to the rest of the children of Israel. And you know that the majority of the children of Israel, to see such a thing like this in a night vision, it would have seemed so peculiar and so strange. They were not made up to even be able to understand such a thing. No doubt it would have totally overwhelmed them to see a thing. You and I are the same way. Since we're not prophets, we're not made to be able to think in a prophetic way. And the only way we can even be able to understand it is that God would give us an enlightenment, a special endowment of his presence to be able to see what would all these things even represent. What would they mean to me as an individual? Is it something more to just increase my knowledge about the principles of God? Or is there a relevance that it would have to me in my everyday walk with God? Is there something that would be a significance to me? And we know that God doesn't tickle our ears. God is not that type of a being to where that God wants to flatter us in some sorts of ways. God never uses the means of flattery. God deals with truth and reality. So if God has something that is written in the Bible, or if God says something by his messenger in every age, then that is given to us for a real reason of substance. It's not by means to where God could just, you know, say something of big fancy words. God's not interested in that. But God has something that he wants to reveal. So when God shows these symbols to Ezekiel, it is something to reveal part of God's glory. It is to reveal part of God's dealing with the people of God on the earth. And it has something to do with something, of course, which is in heaven. And when God shows these powers, beast powers, it is something of God's significance around the throne of God. But it also corresponds to what God is dealing on the earth. Now, we think in our minds that God's dealing with us is so far away, you know, God's heavenly creatures and God's heavenly beings is so far away from that which he is dealing on the earth. And it may be quite a distance as far as we would span between eternity and time. But actually, they are so synchronized together that what God is doing upon the earth is a great, great reflection of what God is doing in heaven and vice versa. So when God is dealing with these heavenly beings in heaven, it is a reflection of what God is doing on the earth. And as we read to you last night, that Brother Bram said four is the number of earthly deliverance. But yet heaven is so in tune with the earth that God did not have three cherubims, which would represent the divine beings of the Trinity. God did not have seven, which would be the representation of God in perfection. He did not have eight, which would be the number of creation. He did not have 50, which would be the number of fellowship and worship. But God had four. Why four? Because God is dealing with that number on the earth. Now when John is caught up in the book of Revelation and he sees no longer the four creatures around the throne of God, but he sees the bride around the throne of God. So what happens to the four? The four is no longer needed in that representation around the throne because the earthly deliverance has been consummated. But as long as God is dealing in redemption upon the earth, when you look in heaven and the prophets look and they see a vision, as long as redemption is still going on the earth, look what you see around the throne of God. The number four. Why? Four is the number of earthly deliverance. And God so surrounds himself with the representation of these powers because as long as there's one name which has not been splashed beneath the bleach yet, then there will be those four beasts, those four powers that will be represented around the throne of God.
How unlike the throne of Napoleon and of many great kings and monarchs, so called, that the throne was actually the mercy seat. Had you been living in the days of Caligula or some of the great Roman emperors or some of the kings that have ruled or the monarchs, whether it was in the time of the dynasties of the Egyptians or whatever it was, and that great throne, you could come before that throne. That throne could actually have been a throne of judgment, or it could have been a mercy seat. Now, depending on what your petition was, when you would come before the king and say you had a need, or say you were falsely accused of doing something and you never did it, but yet no matter how much the facts would prove to your innocence, it would really depend upon that monarch, how he would view your situation. And he would look at that and he could take all the facts, all the things that were there, and you had witnesses. He was not their great king. He was here, there, and there. But yet ultimately the bottom line of where you were innocent or guilty, in fact, it was determined by how that king would say it. So his throne became what? It would become a mercy seat, or it would become a judgment seat. Now, there may be hundreds of witnesses for you, but really the bottom line was, if that king thought that you were guilty, whether all the facts pointed to your innocence or not, it was his word that said you were either innocent or guilty. So then that throne become a mercy seat. On the other hand, if there were witnesses upon witnesses that said you were absolutely guilty, they knew you were, you were there, but yet he could look at you and say, I give you pardon, and I decree that you are absolutely innocent of this charge. Now, no matter how many opposed you, no matter how many hated you, don't you understand why we still need that Lamb of God upon the mediatorial word? As long, look friend, all of this, it'll happen. We'll look at it, Lord willing, in a few weeks' time. But yet the order of events that lays before us is the bride. The synchronization of the Lamb taking the book, it's all correlated with the last one being redeemed. Satan cannot come down until the bride goes up. The bride cannot go up until the last one has been redeemed on the earth. The Lamb cannot take the book until his hands for final possession, until the last one has been redeemed. And until all of that begins to happen, there's four powers that are around the throne of God, and they are there constantly. They are there as a reminder. They are there as a representation that the number of God's earthly deliverance is still before his throne. And until all of that unfolds, every bit of that will be there. But when John looks and he sees the bride gathered around the throne of God, where's the four beasts? They're no longer needed. They're no longer represented. I'm not saying that they're not there in heaven somewhere, but they are only there until I arrive. They are only there until you arrive. Then there will no longer be a need for four living creatures around the throne of God. There will be no need for the beast to represent four of earthly deliverance, because the four will be replaced by thousands times thousands and hundreds of thousands, because the earthly deliverance will finally be consummated in who? The prophet of God said the saints are his vindicated word. Now, here in the book of Ezekiel, of course, being the Old Testament, the tabernacle of God has moved to a more permanent residence in a sense. But it will not reach that place of stationary position until a more perfect blood has been offered, by which the presence of God can reach its final resting place in the eternal, in the heavens. So here in this vision now, the beasts are represented with wheels. But when John sees them, they do not have wheels. So it shows us then that these attributes which are seen in the vision are not eternal attributes, because if it was, it could never change. So the attributes are given to them according to the allotment of time. Now we understand that God can hate, God can despise, but is that an eternal attribute that in eternity God will hate? Of course not. It is a manifestation of an attribute which is only necessary in time. God has the ability to be very harsh and very severe. But will God be that way through eternity? Of course not. That is only brought out in the element of time, and when time ceases to exist, then that thing of display of God, it will no longer be needed. It will no longer need to be dealt with, because there'll be no no sinners, there'll be no sin. God has the ability to be a great judge. And he will judge. Listen to me carefully now. But one day, that attribute of God as being judge and being severe and pronouncing judgment, one day that will totally dissipate and it will come to where it will be only mercy, it will be only love, it'll be only those great attributes which will, we will go from that point on, and in the eternity there will be no more display of the judgment of God, because it will not be needed. Do you understand? It will not be needed. Now, in him is the attribute of Lamb, but once that attribute has completed the channel, that attribute will disappear in the sense that he will no longer be there in the mediatorial box. He will no longer be there as intercessory work. It will always, no doubt, be a memory that we will worship and thank God for, but he will no longer be needed as a lamb. I still need him today. I don't know about you. And I will until I'm changed. But once I'm changed, I go up and the devil comes down. But as long as you're here on the earth, Satan's still before the throne of God accusing you. And as long as he can accuse you, you need a mediator. Oh, glory. But one day he can't accuse me no more. Hallelujah. And as long, hallelujah to God, as long as he can accuse me, I need an attorney. But when the place arrives that I can no longer be accused, I don't need an attorney any longer. Except we won't fire this attorney. We'll be married to him. Glory! We just will no longer need this office. Now, watch this. The man is the highest of God's creation. So Ezekiel looks in the face of these creatures, and the first and foremost figure that is so pronounced to him is the resemblance of a man. Now in this, God displays his great creative powers in the heavens as they're reflected upon the earth. So man is the highest of God's creatures. Now this is the living creature has the representation of the man. And man, of course, is made in the image of God. And the lion is the greatest of the untamed beasts that are upon the earth, in the forest or in the wilderness or wherever more they would live. And the ox then would be the strongest of the beasts when it would come to sacrifice and labor. And then the eagle is a representation, of course, of the heavenly. So in this, we see the merging of the man. We see the merging of that mixed in with the lion, mixed in with the ox, mixed in with the eagle. So we have the image of God's creation. And then we have the lion of the tribe of Judah also reflected in that. Now what's God doing? God is showing here in the heavens an imagery that is reflected upon the earth in the four camps as they're camping around the tabernacle. Now once the tabernacle comes into a more permanent residence, still the children of Israel, you know, they go to their promised lands and they go here, north, south, east, and west, but they are still to gather together at certain times of the year and certain feast times, and they're together where? At Jerusalem, the place God chose to place his name. Now they are taking their position and they're going to their farms and their homes. What is it? Their everyday life. Friends, God does not want this message just to be on your tapes. He does not want you on this message just to be 3 times a week we talk about it. God wants it to be in your home and everything you do. He wants this message to be able to rule our hearts. He wants Christ to be the very essence of the reason that we live. Now they finally come to a spot to where they no longer actually camped on the outside of the tabernacle, but each of them had that word, that allotment of word, and they took it back to the southern coast, they took it to the eastern part, to the western part, and each of them now in their everyday walk, they still have the same representation of the word. Now watch in verse 13. As for the likeness of the living creatures. Brother, show them the image that we have here if you would. As for the likeness of the living creatures. Imagine it must have been a very peculiar thing when John looks in this vision. Now, they look like animals in a sense. And yet they look like some kind of deformed something. So it is a representation of a power. So the eagle is a certain power. The ox, the horns representing the ox, is another power. The lion, another power. The man, another power. And yet all of these, there's four different beasts, and all four of these beasts have this same look about them, similar to this. But that's not all about the beast that really stood out to Ezekiel as he sees this. Now John sees something very similar, but they're divided. Now watch this in verse 13. Thank you, brothers. As for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire. So here he sees the face, but then the likeness of their appearance. So there is an image, and there is an appearance of that image. Now, they're not all just licks and flames of fire burning up everywhere, but there is an identification of the imagery of the animals. But then when he looks at them, the representation of what he sees, he said was like burning coals of fire. And like the appearance of lamps. Now it's not a great big bonfire type of thing to where that the flames are just licking out everywhere, but it was a lamp, which would be a small flicker of fire, and yet it would be flickers that would be all over, but yet it's not a consuming substance. Now he says, notice what he said, and the appearance of lamps, it went up and down among the living creatures, and the fire was bright.
Amen.
Glory. And the fire was bright, and out of the fire went forth lightning. So the substance of these beings are constantly illuminated by fire, and out of the fire goes lightning. Watch this in Revelation chapter 4. Brother Bram says, as for the likeness of the living creatures, and their appearance was like burning coals of fire, like the appearance of lamps. It went up and down among the living creatures, and the fire was bright. And out of the fire went forth light. That's God. From the fire went light. Not cosmic light, but eternal light. Now your God identifies this is the eternal. Those of you that have studied the words, you know yourself that the name Jehovah is not really even the proper name of Him. They couldn't even touch it, the prophet said. The translators, it's J-V-H-U. They actually, in reverence, the Jews call Him God. In any Jewish writings you see on websites or wherever, if they're a real true devout Jew, they'll always have a G. Eliminate the O and a D out of respect because they don't want to say His name. Actually, God and Lord and many of these titles that have been given to Him are names that they have substituted for the holy name because they consider it so sacred that to repeat it and say it over and over and over again, it would be to defame that sacredness. So the Eternal now reveals Himself in the form of His future appearance. Now, we do not believe in three gods, but we do believe that our God has many manifestations. In the eighth day, there will be a body sitting upon the throne, which will be the body of the Lord Jesus. But in the eternal, the Almighty God, the Father God that many people picture in their mind, is a really old man sitting up there with a big long beard, and then this younger guy sitting over on his right hand, and this old man is the Father, and this young guy is the Son. Totally heathenism.
Amen.
God is light. God is not a man. God is not a human body. And God had no permanent human body until the work of creation was able to bring one forth out of the earth. And in the eighth day when the kingdom is all settled back over and the body Jesus turns the kingdom back over to the eternal will hang over the throne and the body Jesus will be on the throne and the eternal will engulf Him in this same light that has engulfed the four beasts. Do you understand if you've got the true Holy Ghost today? The eternal has engulfed your soul. It's not Jesus the man that lives in our hearts today. It's the eternal. So the eternal is where? In this vision. The eternal is revealing Himself among these four powers. these four beasts. Now notice he's not way, way off somewhere, but he's right there among them. Lord Jesus. Notice Brother Ben said that's God. From the fire went light, not cosmic light, but eternal light. And the living creatures ran and turned. The living creatures ran and returned. And as the appearance of a flash of lightning. And I beheld the living creatures. Behold, one wheel upon the earth by the living creatures with these four faces. Now he has a wheel on the earth. These creatures do. But they also have wings. Notice how God's interest is shared. It's not just about heaven. My Lord, you folks is quiet. God's interest is shared. He's concerned what's going on the earth. And these beings have a wheel which is touching the earth. Notice they had one likeness in their appearance and their work was a wheel. In the middle of a wheel. What's the symbol here, Brother Branham? What is it? It means that these guards was God's ark. They were in journey, rolling on wheels when Ezekiel saw them. But when John saw them, glory! They had already come into the right position in heaven. Why don't John see wheels on these living creatures? The Lamb has now purchased and been able to sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat. The wheels are taken off. Glory. So these attributes of these beings are changeable according to the dispensations on the earth. Oh, glory. He is so concerned about you. He will appear in the form of a bush. He'll appear in the form of a cloud. He will change himself according to the dispensation. And it requires him necessary to change. So here when Ezekiel sees them, they've got wheels. Why? Because it represents the body of God upon the earth at that time. It's moving around, rolling around. But when John sees them, the wheels are gone. Notice, amen, the ark of God was on earth, rolling on wheels. As they took it from place to place, it meant it was in travel. And they took it all the way up through the wilderness and all the way into the temple and so forth. But now it's received up because the church age is over. Now watching the vision now. Brother Branham seeing it this the same way. Notice, as it comes to this, when the church age is over, and it has been fully received. Glory. It's received up in the glory. See, it's stationary now in heaven. With all the angels and things around it, we find them after a while taking off the crowns and falling on their faces and giving glory to him. See, it was God's guards of the temple of the ark. Notice, and again in Ezekiel chapter 1 verse 13, as for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire. Went up and down. Amen. Now watch what it does, this fire. And the appearance of the lamb said, went up and down among the living creatures, and the fire was bright. And out of the fire went forth lightning. Now, whenever God then changes his dispensation to where the Old Testament has now been fulfilled, Jesus said, think not I've come to destroy the law, but I've come to fulfill the law. God cannot come up to a certain spot and say, you know what, I think I might have made a bad mistake down through there making that law. Or maybe I shouldn't have made it first place. Oh no, God must fulfill that law. Once it is fulfilled, then God can justly fold that law together and fold it back and say, this was fitting for a time and a dispensation. But no longer is it fitting for where we are now. Of course, it hasn't been for 2,000 years. So once the Spirit of God came upon the earth and the Ark of God became a man, then what did God do? God called guards around that ark. Amen. As that ark walked on the earth. Yes. Except this time he calls those guards
disciples. Mortal men. One of them was a high-tempered sort of a guy. Name was Peter. A human with all kinds of mistakes. But he was a guard nonetheless. Matthew, his former occupation. Glory. Certainly one that many Jews would really like. But before Matthew was ever a tax collector, he was represented in the beast in heaven. Before I was ever a sinner, I was represented in the eternal. So I ask you, which is the greatest, me as a sinner or me as the identification in the eternal? Which is the greatest, me as a mortal struggling with this and that and the other in my life? Which is will last the longest, me as a mortal or me as my identification in the eternal? Same with you. Now, watch this as it changes. After Pentecost, of course, the blood has now been shed. The way to God has now been provided. So God is no longer on the earth. As Jesus is hanging there on the cross and he says it is finished and the veil of the temple was rent from the top to the bottom, not from the bottom to the top, showing that people could come down and tore it at the bottom and start ripping it and pulled and shredded it up this way. But it was ripped from the top to the bottom, showing it had to be a force above it in order to rip it down. It wasn't ripped from down here up. It was ripped from up here down. Amen. Who was it? The very same God that gave them that plan in the beginning. It was now fulfilled. He could not eradicate that veil until a better veil had been revealed. He could not. It would be beneath God's justice to tear that veil. Oh, hallelujah. It would be beneath him to tear that veil unless he provided a greater way. And he had on the cross. So the Spirit of God, while this other veil is being torn on the cross, the Romans are tearing that veil, and God tears this one. Now, the mercy seat comes into plain view. Can you imagine the priest as they walk in? The earthquake shaking the temple. My, things are falling off when they're looking around. They're going in checking the house of God, so called, and looking around and making sure that everything is still in place. Can you imagine if it was a Levite or a priest as he walks in? That's right. Almost dies of a heart attack. The veil is rent. What if there were commoners that were outside and they looked through the gateway and they saw, don't look. Now that place was no more than a bedroom in your house. It was no more than a kitchen in the house that you lived. Why, God had made a better way. He had provided something better. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why? He had provided something better. Where's those guards?
Yes, sir.
Can you imagine? As he hangs there on the cross. And the throne guards look to the eternal. And that great whirling brilliance of emanating light. And they look to the eternal. Not a man like you and I. Father, should we go down? This is your mercy seat. Should I go down? Should I go down and protect it? Stay here. Do not move. The other beast coming around. Father, should I go down? Stay here and join me in this most sublime act as Spirit God turns his back, as it were. And the angels of heaven turn their backs while the mercy seat is hanging in plain view.
If they would have rescued him, I couldn't have been saved. You couldn't either.
Now watch. Something happened at the coming of the Holy Ghost at Pentecost. Watch. Again, Brother Branham in Revelation chapter 4, part 3 says, remember God. God's got some guards for that mercy seat. What is that mercy seat guard? Matthew. On the east. Luke. Mark. And John. All the four Gospels vindicate the book of Acts.
Amen.
To come. They guard it anywhere you want to look at it.
Amen.
Can't you say, well, the devil around this message, with people around this message, wants to eradicate the real gospel?
Amen.
People think we don't need the book of Acts anymore. We don't really need the Bible no more. They just base, you know, everything, quote this, quote that, quote something else. Friend, what kind of message have we got if it comes to eradicate this Bible? When God's guards are set upon this earth, can't you see why I contend for that apostolic faith? Can't you see why I contend for our apostolic rights? It is our right. That's what these guards are there to protect. Notice, did you think that God don't put a guard around his word? See if that ox, lion, man, and eagle, isn't it still sitting at those gates right on earth right now? They're the gospels. The four gospels. But of course, we're too deep for them. We don't need them. When we don't need them, we don't need God. I think a lot of us would be better off if we went back and read the four gospels so we could really understand what a message is all about. It ain't about prophet worship. Come on. Notice now, you argue, Brother Branham, about this. If you don't believe it, it's up to you. I do. You notice every way that they went, they went straight forward. They don't contradict one another. They stay with one another. One goes with the shrewdness of a man. The other one with the swiftness of an eagle. And the other one's a pastor. Good Lord. Oh, now I see why message folks don't want this. So the guards include a pastor? My. Notice this. The one's a pastor. One's an evangelist to fly like an evangelist. The other one's a pastor. So you see, when Brother Joel said he's fixing to take off, literally he's an evangelist. Eh? Notice he said, the one's a pastor. The other one's sturdy. The other one's shrewd, see? They guard it on every side. God guarding this Holy Ghost gospel.
Amen.
Believe it, brother.
Amen.
Where's the wheels? Where's the hand under the wing? Where's the fire unfolding itself? Where's all that great majesty? It went in. Now notice the appearance in the Old Testament was without. Nothing is mentioned about these beasts, what they are on the inside. But once the New Testament converges and it comes into a new covenant, what happens? The mystery, the power, the glory, the Shekinah. It's not on the outside, but it goes within. You're sitting here this morning, if you've got the Holy Ghost, you have got the greatest treasure that there is in the earth. You might be as poor as Job's turkey, yet on the inside of you, you are an absolute wealthy man or woman. People, the world don't see it. You don't even see it yourself. I doubt there's a person here today that's got the Holy Ghost that really understands all it is and all the benefits of it, including me. But if it was on the outside and I had little hands under my wings, I had wings from the top bottom of my feet all the way up. Man, I was covered over with wings. And everywhere I'd just fly to Walmart and back. I'd fly down to Lowe's and back. I'd fly over to Dairy Queen and back. Man, I'd say, man, there goes that pastor flying Happy Valley. Boy, that guy's something, ain't he? But you know what? The same glory is his. Well, we just don't go around talking about it. Brother Ben says there's only one gospel and four guards. One gospel and four guards. Preach this gospel to every creature. Now remember, he's taken in both. All four guards, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, preach the gospel to every creature. But of the message, we preach doctrine. Return to soul and this and that and the other. That, the message, people, that's the main thing. What do you believe about this and what do you believe about that? One of the days you're going to find out the devil can say every word that you can say plus some. Jesus didn't say, whenever the message people preach, Brother Adam, into the four corners of the earth, I will return. But he said, when this gospel has been preached. We say we're sending out missionaries by handing out tapes, are we? What kind of missionaries are they? Well, you're getting quieter and quieter on me. What kind of missionaries, Brother Jim, are we handing out? People that don't even believe in a ministry? And we think passing out books and passing out tapes, that's not the gospel. The gospel is not even passing out trash and even handing out the Bible. The gospel is demonstrating, he said, the power of God. Now watch this. He says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Boy, that south gate's guarded by the ox. The north gate's guarded by the lion. I mean the east gate. And the north gate's guarded by the flying eagle. John, the evangelist. Then the physician on this side. Luke, the man. Well, praise the Lord. So God put the treasure chest in the middle. And he called it the Book of Acts. Then he put Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And then he had them when the translators and all them people was putting the Bible together. They could have written the Book of James. Put the Book of James at the beginning of the New Testament. Since that is actually the first book that was written. Matthew was not the first book as far as dated. The book of James, they say, is the first book of the New Testament that was actually written down. Why ain't it first? He don't fit as a guard. So what are the first books of the New Testament? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. And what's the next book? Acts. So number five pulls in and four surrounds number five. Isn't it amazing how the denominational church at all, they love the teachings of Jesus, they love the parables of the sower, and they love this and that and the other. But when they come to the book of Acts, well, especially if they're Trinitarians or, you know, they don't believe in the power of God, they won't explain the book of Acts away. Isn't it amazing they don't explain away the book of Matthew? Isn't it amazing? Boy, they love the parables and the stories and all this and that and the other. And when it comes to the book of Acts, of course, we know the Holy Ghost don't do that no more. We know he don't do that no more. You know, we don't have speakers of the tongues, and I agree they don't. We don't have healing no more. I agree they don't, but we still do. And I'll tell you the way we'll keep it. It'll not be by replacing these gospel guards with quotes. It'll be by letting these gospel guards remain in their position. Oh, Brother Donnie said this, and Brother So-and-so, that's not what guards are praying. It's this word of God. Hallelujah. God took this book of Acts. You just ain't care. There I go. That ain't enough. I'll get another one over here. Get another one right there. Get another one right there. Get another one right here. I'm guarded. Now, did Jesus set up this New Testament tabernacle for it to run this way
to the last age. And then at the last age, he'd totally annihilate the whole program. And then set up a new program. Do away the Gospels. Do away the Pauline epistles. Do away the book of Acts. Well, I wonder what gets on folks around this message who think that. Well, y'all getting quiet on me. That's okay. Now watch this. Let's move up into heaven now. Revelation chapter 4, verse 4. Round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment. And they had on their heads crowns of gold. Out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire. Uh-oh. Notice, burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass, like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne, and round about the throne, were 4 beasts. So in the midst of the throne, and round about the throne, were 4 beasts. Look at this word, beast. The English words, of course, you know, they can mean several different things. But look at this in the language that it was written in. The word beast is a zoon. Zoon. Which is a living being. A living being. Now here John is caught up after the cross. The wheels are gone. It's no longer Naphtali and Benjamin and Ephraim and Judah. But now around the throne and in the throne and emanating from the throne are 4 zoons. Living beings of a heavenly origin. They are not redeemed mortals. Neither are they the lower degree of angels. Watch this. Brother Bam says in Revelation 11, 13 and 17, it's called beast the same way. But the beast there, the interpretation is therion. Now when you read this in Revelation 11, Revelation 13, also Revelation 17, even though it's the same English word, beast. But actually the Greek word is 2 different Greek words. Now here in Revelation 4, it's soon. But in Revelation 11, Revelation 13, Revelation 17, it's therion. The Greek word therion means a wild, untamed beast. Of course, that couldn't represent throne guards. Throne guards are tamed. Wild, untamed church members. Beast. They never make good throne guards. They're here today, gone tomorrow. They don't like this. They leave and they go somewhere else. Now, you never want somebody like that to be a throne guard. You want a tamed one. You don't want a therion. You want a zoon. Notice he said therion means a wild, untamed beast. But zoon means a creature. 4 living zoon creatures, not beast of the wild. Therion. But zoon, living creatures. Therion is wild, untamed savages. In other words, if you watch the 11th chapter of the Beast of Rome and the 13th chapter of the United States and the 17th chapter of both the United States and Rome, denominational churches consolidated with Catholicism makes them an unconverted, untamed to the gospel. Untamed to the word. Unconverted. Let me go ahead and say it's not just to the denominations either. There's thousands of them around this message. Untamed. Unconverted. Therion. And of course, therions and zooms from time to time get in battle. A Because them Therions will come toward the throne. And they kick the Zooms into action when they do. You see, a Therion will come and say, Jude! Jude is the intercessor for politics. And a real Zoom would say, you're a liar. And you're preaching false doctrine. Therion will say, Saint Cecilia is who you should pray for if you need such and such and so and so. But anointed son of God, anointed with the power of a Zoom, said that's false doctrine out of hell. Amen. Glory. Now, watch then as John in chapter 4, verse 7. And the first beast was like a lion. The second beast like a calf. And the third beast had the face as a man. And the fourth beast was a flying eagle. Notice, not a perched one. We don't want to be eagles so we can show off our feathers. We want to be eagles and use them. Had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which is and is to come. You see, Zooms never say Lord God Almighty's. Lord God's Almighty's. Glory. Can't you see why that power had to be broke? For hundreds of years under the Dark Ages, people worshiped God ignorantly under the influence of Therion. But God said, I will restore in the last days the truth of how many gods there really are. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to Him, again, notice John didn't say thanks to them. Amen. Don't you love it when the Lord just turns that little light on in scriptures? Give thanks to Him that sat on the throne, glory, who liveth forever and ever. Now let's peer into this dimension. Watch Brother Branham again. There's three different categories here. I hope you all got this system down here now. Now I want to show you there's three different categories of it. Three different species. Now look around the throne. Here's the throne. Now the first at this throne is four living creatures. Outside of that, 24 elders sitting upon their thrones. Little thrones. What kind of king is this? That would actually let 24 elders have miniature thrones around his throne. Would Caesar Augustus ever done such a thing? Would Ptolemy, would Nebuchadnezzar Dan, would any of these kings, so-called and emperors, ever done such a thing? Of course not. Their kingdom was built upon jealousy and self-preservation and all these sort of things. Not this one. This king has no jealousy. He has no selfishness. He doesn't want to just be a king by himself. He wants to share his kingdom. I wonder how John must have felt when he breaks into the second category or class of beings around the throne. 24 elders. And he looks and he sees, of course he never saw Judah before, or Benjamin, Naphtali, Asher. But there were the fathers, the 12 patriarch fathers. And then you imagine as John started going down the line, he said, there's Peter. There's a young man. There's so and so and so and so. And then John looked and said, there's me. You understand those 24 elders are the 12 apostles and the 12 elders of the Old Testament.
Amen. Glory to God.
John sees himself.
Oh, glory.
Watch this, Brother Bram said, outside of that 24 elders sitting upon their thrones, this great host of angels round about the throne. See what I mean? Everyone different, one from the other. There is angelic, here is elders, and here is living creatures. You see, friends, even in eternity, God still expands the eighth day in categories. There will be kings in the new earth that will bring their honor and glory into the city. But everybody out on the new earth will not be a king. 144,000, the foolish virgin, many of those categories will not be allowed to have permanent residence in the city. But a certain class will be city dwellers. You hillbillies, you better get used to living in the city because you're fixing to make a change. Oh, glory. It won't be like Johnson City or Elizabeth, and don't worry, it'll be a good city. It'll be the only city of its own kind. But you are fixing to be a city dweller. Now watch, here is God showing John in this great vision, caught up into the paradise of God, into the realm of the eternal. Amen. He sees angels which are created without sin. He sees soons, which are a different degree of angel. And he sees in the vision 24 human beings that were redeemed. Watch this. Brother Bram said there's angels, elders, living creatures. But this is the mercy seat guards. The throne guards. The throne right up next to God. Living creatures. Next thing to God. Now watch, when he went to expand his creation, he made something from himself that was a lot like himself. To protect himself. They would suffice until those names which are part of his name would be revealed in time and be redeemed. Now you understand, these creatures are there and they have been there for thousands of years. But one day they will be displaced. This is not an eternal position given to these beings. For one day, the thing closest to God's heart will stand here. Notice this, he says, their intelligence, they know what was, what shall come. They had eyes without, showing what they could see, which was to come. Eyes within, knows everything now. Eyes in the back, which know what was, which is, and which shall come. Reflecting through the church ages. He that was, which is, and shall come, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now God divided his ages after the New Testament, the covenant, when it began anew. And he would call them what we know today as being church ages, dispensationals or church ages, whichever you wish to term them. He would divide them in categories that would be seven ages, but they would work under four powers. Because remember, four is the number of earthly deliverance. So in that, part of the first church age might blend over, lap over into the second. Part of the second might lap over into the third or into the fourth. Because they will be seven different ages, but they will actually work under four main powers of administration. That is the representation of these zoons. Now watch. Again, in the fourth seal, he said, now remember, in this first age was a lion age. This was the lion of the tribe of Judah, Christ, his own influence of life, taking that age. That's the first beast, which means power, that answered by human voice.
Amen. Glory to God.
So when John sees the seals, and he sees four horse riders coming out, there must be something that'll combat those horse riders. So from the throne of God issues forth the seven spirits of God under the camp. Remember last night as we looked how that the tribes of Israel were gathered under four camps, so there'd be three tribes under one banner, three tribes under another banner, three tribes under another, three under another. So the seven church ages will be gathered under four banners. The lion, the ox, the man, the eagle. Lord Jesus. The first beast, which means power that answered by human voice. The power that answered by human voice. Do you understand, friends? The power that anointed Paul and Peter and James and John, that power anointed human voices. Had it been a beast that would appear in the heavens with a great supernatural voice, my, many of them would fall down. Oh yes, that's God. That ain't the way God chooses to do it. God chooses to use ignorant human beings. But those that have the ability to recognize God's voice, recognize it where it's in an intellectual giant or an idiot. In a man that has a degree or a man that couldn't even spell the word degree. You see, it's not that you recognize the intellect. Oh my, he went to college. I can tell that. Man, he knows his grammar. He knows his all this, that, and other. That's not the way you recognize God. Now watch, the next age was the ox age. Look, here's the very same representation that was identified around the tabernacle, reflected in Ezekiel's vision, now carried over into John's, now brought right down to the church ages. Why? Four, the number of earthly. Deliverance. How are those martyrs? How are they ever going to die under such cruelty? How will they be able to maintain their testimony and not recant? Many of them did recant. But those which were under the anointing of the age couldn't recant. Notice the next age was the ox age, or the dark horse rider's age. As I've always heard people say, that first rider, white, was the power of the church that went forth to conquer, and we find out he was given a crown, that it was. It was the church. It was the church, but where did he go? He went to Rome. That's right. Now the second age was a red horse, which was a dark age. And what did God do? God issued from the throne of God. What's he doing? He's sending forth the powers to protect the word. Hurt not the oil and the wine. So God sent forth an anointing. Now the mercy seat was not only there, but an antitype of that mercy seat was in the heart of every true believer. And they too needed a throne guard, which was what, Brother Dow? The Gospels. An anointing which would anoint their lives. You say, I don't believe I could have ever done that. If you'd have been living there in that day and you was elected, you'd have done it just like they done it. The black horse rider, that was the Antichrist. But as the one speaking in that age was represented a man. Now watch. Satan sends forth the power. God sends forth the power to combat it. Where'd it come from? Throne of God. But now when it comes forth, the eagle age. The one that God always likens his prophets to eagles. He calls himself an eagle. Now, one of those creatures we find in studying the revelation of the churches, that one of them was a lion, the other one was an ox, and the other one was a man, and the other one was an eagle. Amen. We find out in the church ages, those four beasts, meaning four powers, were gathered around the Acts of the Apostles, just the way the tabernacle in the wilderness. I love it when it ties together, don't you? They were watching over this. The Lamb and the Word to perform the Word just as they did the Ark of the Covenant, the holy place. They were watching over the Lamb to fulfill His Word. Notice that even the nature of the beast was exactly a tribal emblem, which was the four. The 12 tribes set four on each side, or three tribes on each side. And the four beasts set and watched those tribes all four ways. And when we went and got the Gospels and show exactly when you enter into the Ark, they was guarding the Ark, the Covenant. And we find out the Covenant of the New Church, its representation on the earth was the Holy Spirit. That's why Trinitarians turn to the first book of the New Testament. And they read it down through. And they come down through and they see, ah, there's one God up there in heaven. And then there's another God that comes down as a dove. And there's another God standing in the water. Matthew done a good job protecting it, didn't he? Glory! Don't tell me. I know. I was a Trinitarian myself one time. I used to make them famous statements. Well, I'd rather do what Jesus said than what Peter said. I was Therion in nature, like every one of you was too. But I was Zoon in seed. Amen. Glory! I was Therion like you were, but I had representation around the throne of God as a living creature. Not a dead church member, a living creature. Let me find a place to close. Watch. Brother Bam said the blood has sent back to us the Holy Ghost, and the four beasts represent the 12 tribes of Israel. As it watched, finding their natures and taking the same nature and bringing it up to each one of those four gospels. Exactly. One talked to the lion, the other one to the ox, the other the four gospels. That is it. The four gospels is the protection of the Holy Spirit. So then what can Satan do to us, message folks? By getting us to eradicate and do away with what we think the gospel. They're for denominational people. They don't mean nothing to us. Of course, you throw them away, you get the Sermon on the Mount. You throw that away. You get blessed are the peacemakers, which would be one reason why we got so many troublemakers around the message. When you throw the gospels away, do you see what you're throwing away? You're throwing away principles for life. How to live this gospel once the Holy Ghost is quickened. How to take those things that He said and teach us how to live a godly life. Oh my Lord Jesus. The four gospels is the protection of the Holy Spirit. Why would the Holy Ghost need protection? What's the Gospels going to do? Well, take the Gospels, the words of Jesus, and see what He says about the Holy Ghost. Then when you don't feel it, the teachings of Jesus will help you to understand, to know that I will be your comforter. When you throw away the Gospels, you're doing away St. John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go away to prepare a place for you. And if I go away, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, there you may be also. Amen. Amen. Then the disciples said unto him, Lord, show us the way. He said, have I been so long time with you and you've not known who I am? I am the way, the truth, and the life. Let me close with this. Four beasts are four powers. We know that beast, by interpretation of the terms of Bible symbols, means power. Now let's get that close. The four beasts in the Bible represent a power among the people. Like in Daniel, when he saw a certain nation rise up, maybe it'd be a bear holding a rib in his side, a symbol. Then he's seen another power raise up a goat. Represented something. Then he's seen another power raise up a leopard with so many heads. It represented a certain kingdom. Then he saw another rise up, a great lion, the teeth and salt the residue. That represented a different power altogether. The martyrs down through the ages have suffered terribly. But what was they? They were under the inspiration of the Spirit of God. The power. Yeah.
the power of the ox. That the old ox would get out there and labor and pull. Look in God's creation of the animal world. The lion, you realize they sleep 20 hours a day? You know that a lion sleeps about 20 hours a day? They just pile up, lick around on one another. Just lay around, go out and kill a diker and impala or something or other, you know, just lay around. Look at the leopard, a cheetah. But some were made to be like horses and cows that worked, and here's the old ox. Poor old ox, you think, why in the world did the poles ain't get that lot in life? God knows what he's doing. Would you want to take a $10,000 show horse and put him on a plow? Come on, Messy. Yeah, yeah. A big Tennessee gated walking horse out there plowing. Man, him stepping up like that. Boy, you're a nut. You're bigger nut than he is. But you get old Bob, the plow horse, and you hutch old Bob up to the plow and let old Bob do the plow. Well, that pretty gated horse stands over and looks out at it and says, I'm glad I'm not Bob. So God let some of them there late just like your elect. And God let them live under there, and they pulled and they strained and they struggled and they pulled and they strained and they struggled. Because it was the power that was released to them. Stand. I find this quote amazing. In the fifth seal, he says, paragraph 145, page 353, there, brothers. They didn't care, talking about dying, because the spirit of the church in that day was sacrifice, labor. They walked up and just freely as they could, anointed with that true spirit of God of that age, died like heroes of sacrifice. Thousands times thousands, 68 million on the record. The ox sacrifice. That's just in the Roman martyrology. What about the Spanish Inquisition and the other Inquisitions around the world? How could they do it and not say, I'm out of here. I'm quitting. I cannot take this no more. What kind of God is this that would allow your wife to be beaten to death? What kind of loving father is this that will allow your child to be taken from you and their brains be dashed out on a stone? And John said, God is love. How could they do it? They were anointed. Let me just bring you up to date. You know how you're going to be able to survive the most wicked, sinful, deceitful of all ages. When Brother Branham preaches this, there was a box sitting there on the pulpit. That box was for questions of people to ask him about the seals. So he says, picks up that box and sets it up on the pulpit. He said, I want to let this box represent that. They could do no more than the anointing that was released to them. Now, in the Spirit of God, the lion anointing was still part of this. And no doubt they preached like a lion sometimes. But you couldn't die like a lion in the arena. You had to die like an ox. So you imagine that preaching the boldness of a lion in the tribe of Judah. But they couldn't die that way. They had to know, Brother Jim, how to switch into the attribute. Do you understand, friends? There's time to be as bold as a lion. There's time to submit under the ox anointing. There's times to have the intellect of a man, the intelligence. And there's times to raise up and fly above it all. Now here we are at the end time. We have the attributes of all of those anointings. We have the compound reward of the seven church ages. Because you live in this age. The reward they get, you get theirs. Plus the second, plus the third, plus the fourth, plus the fifth, plus the sixth, plus yours. Of course that also means you get sevenfold trouble. So there's times you got to say, I'll tell you one thing, you're off the word of God, brother.
And there's other times you just hold your peace. There's other times you use the intelligence of that man anointing. And under the direction of the Spirit of God, you take them in time and not so tight they can't get out. And there's other times you see trouble coming and you mount up with wings as an eagle. And you fly above it all. There's times we must rip with the beak. But that ain't all the time. Now the thing I want to close and ask you this morning is, are you sensitive enough to the Spirit of God to know when to act like a lion when you need to? Act like an ox when you need to? Act like a man when you need to? And soar like an eagle when you need to? Oh, praise the Lord. Let's bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, I want to be the first to admit I've not always been sensitive, Lord, to know which channel that I must move under. The lion and the ox and the man and the eagle, it's all part of the administration of the Spirit of God. We know those beasts are still there around the throne to this day. This very moment as we're speaking here on earth, they're still identified there. And as long as they're identified in that fourfold way in heaven, that fourfold manifestation will be on the earth to testify back to it. So I pray you'd help us. Give us wisdom, Lord. Lord, help the preachers in the message that we can know the right time to attack like the lion, to be bold, to be strong. And then help us to know, Lord, when we are to hold our peace. We look at your life through the display of the four Gospels, and we can see all four of these channels in your life. There was times you were as bold as a lion. You attacked them scribes and Pharisees, you tore them to bits. There was other times you acted under the ox. Let him reach as a lamb to the slaughter. There was times you used the intelligence of a man, as really as it were. So you take and catch them in their own words. You say, I ask you this. Was the baptism of John, was it sent from men or was it sent from God? And they said among themselves, if we say it was John, he was of God, why didn't you hear it? And if we say amen, the people will stone us. And they said, we cannot tell. And you said, neither do I tell you. And then there was times you used the anointing of an eagle and rose up above and flew above it all. Help us, Lord. Make us sensitive to your channel, to your flow. Granted, I pray, Lord Jesus. May we answer on the earth to those great zoons in heaven. The therions are all around us. The therions who influence from the world beneath us. Your prophet has told us there's three realms above us and three below us. And we're caught in the middle. And every mortal who lives on the earth is under the influence of that world above or the world beneath. Help us, Lord God. Grant it, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. How many would like to be remembered in prayer today? You want to be sensitive to the Spirit of God. When you need to stand like a lion, you want to stand. When you need to hold your peace and be submissive. You see, no matter who you are and what your makeup is, all of us need these four influences in our life. Maybe you're a really meek person. Sometimes that can be a disadvantage. Sometimes your meek nature will make you where you won't stand up for what's right. If you're a strong, defiant nature, sometimes you lean that way and you don't know when to be meek. So all of us need these in our life. All of us, whether preacher, deacon, trustee. You realize sometimes deacon being policeman of the church, they can get into that lion eagle phase, rippers of the beak, center forth, this, that, the other. But they also have to be servants. They also have to ox. All of us need these influences in our lives. Would you raise your hand? You want to be prayed, be remembered in prayer? I want you to look up this way for a minute.
I got both men.
I'm going to pray for you. And I'm going to ask you a great big favor. I want all you all to pray for me. That God will help me. And I'll stay true
honest and faithful. Know how to stand under the right anointing. Would you do that for me? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, as I pray for them today, and they're praying for me, Lord, I want to ask you to help them. Help these brothers, these sisters, these young people of the church, the deacons, the trustees, the ministers, each of us, Lord, that we can know when to be bold like the lion, that we can know when to cow down, as it were, like the ox under the labor. Many folks love to come in church and they like being the eagle part and the lion part, but they don't ever want to be burdened with any of the troubles of the church. And when the church goes through strange, you never see them until the strain's over and then they show up again. But Lord, help us not to be that way. Help us, Lord, that if Happy Valley goes through strains, we want to be right there to help them through the strain. Help us, Lord, we don't just fly around when the church is in revival and, man, just feed on the word and feed on the anointing. But help every one of these people here today, Lord God, I pray. Help them not just to be a lion. Help them, Lord God, not just to be the eagle, but help them, Father, that when the church is going through difficulty, Lord, no doubt during that time when the church was under that ox anointing, many people that had come in under the early days, when tough times came, they headed out of there. They couldn't take it. But Lord Jesus, help us to be willing to bear the reproach of your people. Help me, Lord, that I can be the right kind of pastor. Lord, help me that I'll not just stand with these people in their prime, as it were, and in their glory, when they're overcoming. Lord, when they're making, Lord, great strides in their walk with God. But help me, Lord, that I can work under the ox too. For the pastor is not only a feeder. A pastor is not only a sower in the heavenlies, but a pastor is a laborer. A pastor must labor with them in their shortcomings and their difficulties and their marriage problems and their financial problems. Help me, Lord. Help me that I'll not just be a lion. Help me, Lord, that I'll not just be an eagle. Help me, Lord, that I'll be able to get under that ox. Help me, Lord, that I'll have the intelligence of the man when I need it. Help each of us, Lord God. Grant it, I pray, Lord. Grant it, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. And the church said, amen. Now I'm not going to ask if you understood everything you heard today, but I am going to ask you, do you believe it's the truth? Do you believe that we need it applied to our lives? Now friend, this is one thing I want you to leave, just a very, very simple thing before I let you go. Keep in mind, before you were here, you were represented there. And that is representing you there now in perfection. In the place that God wants them to be. So there will be a body on the earth that will match that image. If not, that image is false. If God does not have a body on the earth that will come to its place of servitude in exactly the same place that God requires, God's projecting a false image of those beasts around heaven. And you know our Father better than that. So you know what it tells me? Down through the ages, God has had a people. Oh, they've not reached human perfection. They've not reached that human sinlessness, but they've reached what God wanted them to be and served in that place. Oh, God bless you, children. Don't you appreciate Him today? Hey, let's sing, flow through me. Holy Spirit, flow through me. Hallelujah. Let's sing it together as we prepare to go. Just before we go, though. We've gathered around Him today in our presence. His guards. His protectors. Let's just worship Him a little bit. Let's not be like Delilah was so many years ago when Samson, the strong man, laid his head down in her lap. And when he woke up, his covenant was gone. But let Jesus lay His head down in our lap the way He did the Shulamite in the Song of Solomon. For you are that Shulamite. And you know, of course, Shulamite is the feminine form of Solomon. So here is Mr. and Miss Solomon. And we step into the bedroom and we find them. And there lay Solomon as it was in the lap of Miss Solomon. She's taking her fingers and running it through her hair. His hair, rather. And she speaks and says to the daughters of Jerusalem, daughters of Jerusalem, stir not up nor awake, my love. Watch her how she bold she is. nor await my love until he pleases. She is his protector. He will not arouse and wake from her lap and his covenant gone. But his covenant has been fortified by her. For she on the earth has stood up for him. Praise the Lord. Just live your everyday life, friends. You say, I'm going to do it. It's very, very simple. Live your everyday life, a holy, godly life. And you are standing for a standard in this evil, wicked day. You sisters may never testify to anybody about your long dress and your long skirt, but you are a living word, an oracle, an expression of a thought of God. Live it well. Walk it well. Don't walk it in human arrogance and pride, but live it because you're a Christian. Let's sing it together. The same Lord God that was there in the tabernacle as the great pillar of fire hovered over the third realm. Judah, Ephraim, Dan, Reuben. He's right here this morning. Oh, if you haven't received him, he's here not to move in this church, but to move in your soul. Flow through me, Holy Spirit, flow through me. Let's sing it now. Flow through me, Holy Spirit, flow through me. As I live my hands to worship and to magnify thy name, flow through me, Holy Spirit, flow through me again, flow through me. Amen. Oh, grant it, Lord Jesus. Grant it, Lord Jesus. Flow through me, Holy Spirit. Flow through me. As I lift my hands to worship and to magnify. God bless you, saints. Go in the fear of God. I'll see you Wednesday night, Lord willing. Oh, flow through me.